It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Yes, we've got Kyle Tighe, the legendary Kyle Tighe. I am Phil Mackey, and his name is Michael Grady, the official voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves on the TV side. You guys look like you haven't slept more than 5 minutes. I'm kind of the same way after one of the greatest nights in the history of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is it hyperbole, gentlemen, to say, so there's Game 7 Western Conference Finals, Kings, KG scores table 30-20. Was that the second best night in the history of the Minnesota Timberwolves last night? Is that a hot take?
No, because the list is three games long, right? Like,
you can count other things besides games. You can count drafts, winning the lottery a couple times.
I remember when they won the lottery for Ant, and D'Lo was, because we're all on Zoom, right? And D'Lo was sitting at some nice Malibu penthouse, and he just kind of shook his fist. I remember being excited in that moment because the Wolves had never really, they didn't move up in the lottery, but they won it finally. And apologies to listeners, they might be digging the Denver Nuggets grave outside of my window right
That's
now.
It's
very loud here, but last night was a top three moment, and I was cool to see Grady there. Just to, off the rip, I want to ask, because you interviewed Nas after the game, what I thought was cool about this team and my biggest takeaway from this postseason run is you were like, Nas, last question, what are the vibes like? And you almost tricked him. He wanted to be like, the vibes are immaculate, but then he's like, we're just doing one game at a time. This team is so businesslike, man, and you're there. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen with this organization.
It is. And the intention wasn't to trick them there. These guys are locked in, but they're 100% appreciating what they're doing. You can't have a dominant victory like that from start to finish and not feel good about what you're doing and not have the hair stand up on your arms just a little bit thinking about what things are going to be like Friday night at Target Center. I love, to your point, the business-like approach that this team has. There is a poise that we've seen really during this postseason run that is just leaps and bounds beyond what we saw during the regular season, where they were this close from being the number one team in the West. So think about that. They played as well as anybody in the West all season long. And how many tiers that they jumped above the level that we saw during the regular season? It's really unreal to do that against Phoenix in a sweep and then taking two games from Denver on their home court. It was really, really wild.
I feel like it's, first of all, it is hard to comprehend and compute for anyone that's watched this team for a number of, I promise it hasn't been like this forever. Grady jumps in and they're just like, they're just going to win championships now, apparently. If you could actually go and help cover the Vikings, the Twins, the Wild, that would be great, Grady. But like, it's hard to compute it because we don't have any reference points for them doing this really ever except for 2004 in the middle of May. But to your point, they're playing a level better than they were in the regular season. And we're trying to figure out like, okay, should we just get excited for a potential sweep of Denver, or is there another shoe that's going to drop? Like, we don't even know how to deal with this, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you have to embrace every one of these moments. You have to embrace all these, you know, the play-in, all the folks making fun of the celebration there with winning a play-in game. Screw all those folks. For those who can remember 2004 and that run to the Western Conference Finals, if you had told everyone to a man you're not going to see this potentially for another 20 years. Would you have stayed out a little bit later and joined it? Would you have had some more fun with your friends talking about every last one of those victories in the first round and the second round and then pushing things to the limit? And you would have given it your all. And so, you know, there's no guarantees on winning the championship. But I think back to my early years and watching, you know, Reggie Miller and the Pacers have those conference finals runs where they came up against the Bulls, came up against the Knicks. They fell short. But I cherish those memories so much and those little celebrations along the way so much. So you just have to enjoy every little bit of it. And I don't care how many people want to troll or make fun of the celebrations. Screw y'all. Enjoy these moments. Enjoy these moments. There's really something special brewing.
Yeah. If 15-year-old Kyle in 2004 would have known that that would have been it for the next 20 years, I would have gone to bars. North Dakota is pretty lenient. But I'm with you on that. And I also think, too, I mean, we've been very complimentary of you guys because it's well-deserved, but I was just thinking last night at 3:30 in the morning, like, how cool it is that this team is doing this, and then everyone nationally also recognizes, like, they might have the best player in the league, they might have the best radio guy in Alan Horton, they might have the best coach in Chris Finch, they have the best duo in Jim and Grady, so this is a really special season, and Grady, you're a hoops nerd too, like me, so I think back to when OKC, I say this a lot, but when OKC lost to the Heat, and they had Durant and Harden and Westbrook standing on the sidelines, had their arms over each other. And I remember, I think it was Mike Breen was like, that young trio is going to be back. Like, they're going to be here for a while. And they never came back, right? They traded Harden that summer. So I'm with you, and I appreciate people like you kind of saying it on a louder volume than I can, that enjoy this. Like, be where your feet are. Enjoy this moment. If you can't get to Target Center on Friday because tickets are the GDP of Guam, like, go outside Target Center. Go to a bar. Yeah. This weekend should be, in my opinion, the coolest moment, Phil, for the Timberwolves in 20 years, and maybe one of the coolest Minnesota sports moments of our lives.
Yeah, and it is like I'm just going to piggyback off what Grady was saying, too, that, you know, the people that made fun of the play-in celebration and Pat Bev was jumping up on the scores table. I hear even people, if you're a Boston sports fan, which, by the way, you guys were poverty for like 8 decades until Tom Brady and then David Ortiz came along. Like, you guys didn't win anything for a long time. It's not like when Boston lists their top 10 sports moments of X amount of time, it's impossible to pick because it's all championships. We don't have that. I mean, the last time a men's team won a championship here was 1991. So yeah, like, we do get excited for, we're like, it's like Eminem at the end of 8 Mile. Like, yeah, we do get excited for play-in victories. Yeah, we do get excited for a 2-0 series lead over Denver on the road. Here, tell these people something they don't know about me, right? I think you're helping me even process this in the moment, because I don't know if I should be like confident or still kind of nervous because it's Denver and they now get like 4 days. And maybe the answer is don't be anything. Just enjoy game 3 and then enjoy game 4 and see what happens.
Yeah. Enjoy these days leading up to it. And we all give respect to Denver. I mean, this series is not over. To beat them 2 more times is going to be extremely difficult. They have the MVP. They have key players. It's just the way that they're being smothered right now. And going back to what Kyle was saying about that OKC squad, you have to battle, you have to compete in every game if you're Minnesota, as if this might be your only opportunity. You know, Mike Conley may not get another chance. Hell, Anthony Edwards, you know, we glorify him at being 22 years old and being MJ-like. There's still no guarantees there. Now, with his skill set and smart minds around him and putting the pieces around him, you hopefully – you know, we'll have opportunities, but he's competing like this could be it. Mm-hmm. This whole squad, is their intensity is contagious. And it's, I just tell you, for anybody who, you know, you don't have to be an NBA player or a professional athlete to have a competitive spirit. You know, there are folks out there who just want to win at checkers. There's folks who just want to win or whatever, or just want to be the best in their career field or whatever it may be. And to see these guys scrap and battle and leave it all on the floor, understanding what the common goal is and battling not just for themselves, but for each other. It's just, again, I used the word glorious yesterday. It's just really glorious to watch.
Real quick, can I just, and Kyle, like, feed off this if you want to, but to what Grady just said, the intensity, and they're playing like this is it. This might be the only chance that we get, even though Anthony Edwards is only 22 years old. when you watch any NBA game, even the worst defenses in the league, if there's only one possession left in the game and it's a tie game, you need this defensive possession to win the game or extend it. Like, most teams play hair on fire defense for those last 10 seconds. The Timberwolves play hair on fire last possession of the game defense for 48 minutes across six playoff games so far. You weren't getting it at that level for 82 games over 6 months because it's human nature. It's the NBA. But they're like, it could be a random possession with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. And if you didn't see what the score was or what time of the game, if you were just plopped down, you would, like, that possession that drove Jamal Murray to throw things on the court later on. Like, he gets full court press picked up by both Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels. And then he gets, like, trapped in the half court, starts spazzing out. He's, like, put in basketball jail. You would say, well, that feels like an end of game. Like, we have to have this possession defensive stand. But they're doing it for 48 minutes across every playoff game so far.
Watching it in the moment, I went from, like, standing up and being in a defensive stance. And this just kind of tells you how much of a softie I am. But then I transitioned quickly into realizing that Jamal Murray was in hell. Like, he was at Azkaban. And I thought, like, the Simpsons meme where they're like, hey, stop it, he's already dead. Like, stop. Yeah. You know, that's what it felt like. I mean, you don't see, what was that, the second quarter? They forced the Denver Nuggets, the most well-oiled machine, into three shot clock violations. It's incredible. And back to Grady's point, too, it's not that they're winning or that they're doing this. It's how they're winning. Like, this isn't shooting variance. This isn't the Minnesota market getting a good whistle. They didn't get a good whistle last night. There was a lot of technical fouls that they left in the arena. They fouled more than Denver.
Mike Malone was begging for, like, literally, like, give me a technical to fire up my team. Nope.
And that's what makes it so cool, is, like, they're doing it in a way that, back to the Eminem analogy, like, they know what this fan base has gone through, and they're just walking into people's houses, sidestepping the Ring doorbell and just taking things and being like, this is our house now. And I asked it to Ant after Phoenix, and I was asked last night again. Anthony Edwards is 22, getting MVP chants in other people's buildings, including the guy who's going to win his third MVP in 3 days from now. Like, that's nasty.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
There's a quote, I think it was from Charles Barkley, that I love, that really embodies this Timberwolves squad, and it's that you can't wait for your opponent to die. You have to kill him. Mm-hmm. And when I watch Nikhil Alexander-Walker pick up Jamal Murray full court up 30, I was like, dang.
Yeah.
this is mad disrespectful. And think about the meltdowns we've seen. I remember the Phoenix series, because I go back with Frank Vogel back to our Indiana days. There were stretches in one of those games where I have never seen him that hot before. He was having he was jumping up and down wildly on the sideline. There was a media interview where Bradley Beal was saying that Ant is picking him up full court and is causing some issues. The fact that he acknowledged that publicly to the media let me know he's done. Mm-hmm. And then, again, as you mentioned, the defending champions, Mike Malone jumping out on the court, losing his mind. Jamal Murray throwing a towel and then a heat pack. It reminds me of a story of Tim Capstraw, who is the color commentator for the Brooklyn Nets radio. He told me the story back from his coaching days. His team was getting slaughtered one night. And so he was like, to hell with this. I'm going to maybe try to ignite a fire and just spaz out and get thrown out of this game. So he runs out on the court. He's throwing a temper tantrum. He's in the official's face. He's getting aggressive, cursing up a storm. And the ref looks at him and says, if I have to watch your sorry team, you do too. Go back to the bench.
That's the punishment. that's the Jamal Murray punishment should be, hey, we know that you did the money sign to the official, a towel and a heating pack, and you're expected to be fined $100,000 and sit for game three. But your punishment is you have to play in Target Center for game three. Yes.
Well, what does that say? These guys know exactly what they're doing. Mike Malone knew that he can get it in Mark Davis's face. The way that he did, that there was a chance he would get thrown out of the game. Not just the Tech. When you get an official's grill like that, you get tossed from the game. Yeah. He knew that as he got heated in that moment. Jamal Murray throwing a towel, okay, and then following up with the heat pack, you know by those actions that you could get tossed from the game. Those guys were done.
Yeah,
they were done. Dude,
reminded me quickly of just like, again, I'm with Grady that you still have to beat the champs a couple more rounds and like TKO it before I'm willing to totally celebrate. But it kind of gave shades last night of when that Lakers team lost to the Mavs and like Bynum got ejected. Like you started to see a team. I mean, that's when you know your soul is getting taken away from your body and getting all your belongings in your house are being stolen. Because it's one thing to lose, but it's another to lose like that. And that was a crazy, crazy performance. And then Dude. To Ant's point, too, after the game, I think they all feed off of what, like Grady said, taking a guy 90 feet up 30 kind of builds into when Ant, you know, he hurt Reggie Jackson with a crossover and then he pointed at him. He's like, hey, I got you. I think the showmanship of this team, that they do it in a no bulletin board material way, but they're just like, hey, we want to challenge you, because Ant said after the game, I point at guys because I want them to try to come back at me. I embrace that challenge. That's different, man. That's stuff I haven't seen watching this team fill for 35 years.
I'm glad you brought up the 2011 Mavericks, and I might be missing a team in here, but if you think back like the last 20, 25 years of NBA champions, it's a lot of predictability within reason. It's like, oh, the Warriors have a dynasty. The Heat have one of the greatest trios of all time, and the Lakers a couple different times with Kobe, Shaq, Kobe, and Pau Gasol. But then there's these little outliers that jump out at you, like the 2004 Pistons and the 2011 Mavericks. I'd probably put that Raptors team in too, just because of the KD Achilles, but that was a different type of outlier. But with the Mavericks from 2011 and with the Pistons from 2004, two similarities. One, when the playoffs started, those teams were regarded as good, feisty teams, but probably not winning the championship, because the Lakers over here with Hall of Famers, the Heat over there, right? Like the Lakers in both cases, actually. But then as you start watching them play first round, second round, oh man, they're taking lunches. They are, especially the 04 Pistons, the best defensive team in the league, and it's every possession is impossible for the opposing team. The Wolves feel like that, where a playoff started, that's a good feisty team. They could definitely win a first round series. But now that you're watching them, it's like, dude, it reminds me, you brought up the TKO reference there too, Kyle. In boxing and in the UFC, there comes a time where every champion has made money, they've won belts, and they get into the octagon or they get into the ring, and there is a younger, hungrier psychopath on the other side of that equation, and they want to kill the current champion or the incumbent, Conor McGregor, whoever it is. The Wolves feel like the UFC fighter or the boxer, like Mike Tyson late 80s, that, you know what? I don't want to go 10 rounds with this team. It's too much of a pain in the ass, and I'd rather just go home and enjoy my championship I won a couple of years ago. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, they're developing this intensity about them that's intimidating for opponents. The way that they suffocate you defensively, and I love using I'm a big, you know, boxing guy, and I love using that reference. Because when you see big time prize fights and a champion is taking on a contender, very rarely will a contender win by decision. Oh. Very rarely. Now, I don't have the numbers to back that up. Just off the eyeball test, rarely are they going to win on a decision. You're going to have to knock them out. If you want to be the champ and you want to beat the champ, you're probably going to have to knock them out. And that's the type of presence that we're seeing from this Minnesota squad. They're looking at the defending champ right in the face, and they are throwing haymakers. They're throwing body shots. And it's almost symbolic. I know we still have two games to go, that Jamal Murray threw a towel last night. That's the way
he threw
that
a towel.
He punched.
Right, throw the damn towel.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we have the opportunity, Phil, to have Grady on, which is cool for me as a fan, and Michael Grady, real talk, is like the Anthony Edwards now of the broadcasting game. I joked with you, but like all of a sudden I tuned into a San Diego State football game during college football season, and there's Grady talking on CBS Sports. I was like, what's going on? So I could ask you really smart basketball questions, or I could just simply say, man, like, What are your vibes like? I mean, you're still around this team as close as ever. You go to all these practices and shoot-arounds, and you're with these guys. Yeah. Is this the most fun you've ever had doing this?
Yes, because this, I mean, you guys know from your careers the work that you put in. There are a lot of folks who watch and who put a lot into, you know, what they do and they love and what their passions are. And I, even from a broadcasting standpoint, I have a competitive edge to me. You know, I want to attack my preparation. I want to insert things into a broadcast. I want to be as good as I can possibly be. And to watch this team take on the personality of this community, battle for each other, battle for themselves individually, and compete the way that they're competing, it's just the puzzle pieces are fitting. And it's just so fun to watch guys who I've seen so many teams where they just had the talent, but they just didn't want to go to that other gear. They didn't want to take that extra step. They weren't picking up full court. They weren't hustling on closeouts, contesting everything, hustling for 50-50 balls, battling on the boards. They just wouldn't go that extra step, even though they had all the talent in the world. And to see this team scrap for each other and do what they're doing so far in this postseason is so great. Number one, I think about the fans, and I hear so many stories about just people who have been through all the highs and so many lows, of course, of being a Wolves fan. I remember when I first, you know, got here, and I have naturally optimistic spirit. And then folks are telling me, oh, just wait. Shoe's going to drop. Something's going to whatever. I'm like, you know, okay. And then Cat got hurt last year. And then all, you know, but to see that narrative change and to see just how hungry this fan base is and how happy, how genuinely happy they are to see this success, given how long they've waited. And I appreciate that. I haven't obviously been around for all those lows, but for me personally, on a quick note, I mentioned those Pacer years and those Pacer teams with Reggie Miller. And a lot of those teams had the talent, you know, to win it all, but I don't know that they actually had that belief that they could win it all. So they went to multiple conference finals with Reggie Miller, eventually got to the NBA finals where they lost to the Lakers in six games. And that was during my youth coming up and watching them. And then when I was working for the Pacers, it was Paul George, Roy Hibbert, David West, George Hill, and those teams falling short to the Miami Heat and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And they're as a whole on those rosters, Pacers probably had the better team, but they didn't have that belief that they could beat LeBron in a seven game series. So they lost twice in the conference finals. And then fast forward to my time in Brooklyn, they assemble a super team with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. And then during their championship run, James Harden has a hamstring. Kyrie Irving steps on Giannis Antetokounmpo's foot, has an ankle injury. He's out. And they still were a Kevin Durant three-point shot with his toe on the line away from going to the conference finals.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that team gets disbanded because of all type of off-the-court stuff. So for me personally, I have been around special teams that just were not able, for one reason or another, to win it all. And I have no idea how this journey is going to end for this Timberwolves team. But in a roundabout way to answer your question, I'm having the most fun I've ever had watching this young team with vets play for each other, loving on each other, saying all the right things in post-game press conferences, battling, competing, talking shit. It's been a fun ride.
Man. We do this thing with Jim every week where it's just like, you played, I didn't. So you're actually good at this, and we're just Phil and I. But like,
you called Cash, I didn't. Is it where we're going to call this?
Take us behind the scenes a little bit. I know you're not doing the call for these games now. We wish you were, but like, you had one the other night, man. Where you just randomly just threw in a yes thirsty, at the perfect time. Like, how is your brain just like? Like Jake's graphs was just constantly cooking when you're not online, or is it a notebook that you're just like, hey, I wonder which cool thing I'm gonna like? How do you just, or is it just because you're just so in the moment that you're like, it just kind of flows?
It's really a combination. So, one, you have a lot of prep as far as numbers and stats that you want to have in place so that you can help tell the story of the game, and then just from a fun element and just thinking of things that might come to mind that if the opportunity presents itself, you could slide it in. And sometimes I'll have something, but the moment won't present itself. So I'm not going to force it. And I just kind of like to slide it in. I don't want to throw it out there as some big punchline to where if it doesn't land, it's really noticeable. It's kind of want to slide it in, but on big shots, you know, the emotion gets the best of you. I remember the Prince shot from a season ago. I had been holding on to that for maybe about 3 weeks and just didn't know the right moment to use it, because we know Torian Prince could be, I mean, he could go 0 for 11 or he could have a really good night.
Yeah.
So that Knicks game, did he have seven threes?
Seven threes.
Yeah.
Seven threes. And I could have thrown it out there after the fifth three. But for him to hit that shot in that one moment, that last one, and then to throw that out there, it was great. I've had some good calls where the team lost, and then it just kind of takes away takes away from it. But I just really love having fun with it. And some references, a lot of folks will recognize, and some, if only like five people get it, it still means something to me.
Oh, that's my favorite. That's how I tweet, dude. It's just like, if three people get this joke,
it's just,
I'm good.
It's all good. One of my favorites was, real quick, was against the Bulls. They have a young man on the team, Dalen Terry. And years ago when I did radio, there was this viral video after the 4th of July of this guy who was, he was in a remote chair. He was lighting some fireworks, and he couldn't back up while the fireworks were getting ready to go off. So his friend who's filming everything is yelling, "Back it up, Terry, back it up." And it's one of the funniest videos. "Back it up, Terry" is one of the funniest videos of all time. And yeah, put it in reverse, Terry, put it in reverse, back it up, Terry. So in the game, Dalen Terry is racing up the court. I think Ant cuts him off and he starts backing up. And I just threw out there, Terry puts it in reverse. And the next time, I didn't think anybody might catch it. It was really subtle.
Yeah.
But when I opened Twitter and I saw folks putting the picture of the guy on Twitter, that made my night. So sometimes I'm just trying to entertain myself.
How much, I just, since we're down the path of just like your craft, not to, you know, we love asking you questions about you. I'm sure you're uncomfortable answering questions about you, but bear with us here. Mike Breen, how long did you work with Mike? Did you work with Mike Breen directly?
Mike Breen Mike Breen's a good friend. And he's, of course, just amazing. He was the first person who called me to congratulate me when I got the Timberwolves job. But he was on the other side. He was with the Knicks.
Yep.
I was with the Nets with Ian Eagle. So Ian Eagle has been amazing for me in my career. He encouraged me greatly to take this Timberwolves job when I was pondering about it. And so he's played a big role in me, and I've learned a lot from watching him and talking to him.
How, I guess my question off that is, he has my favorite stamp call, and he reserves the bang for certain situations.
Yes.
And the double bang for like Steph Curry against the Thunder half court shot, or I think he did one. It was because the MSG crew called the first round, and it was the chaotic sequence where the Knicks hit that shot, like, you know, they steal the ball, and it was the bang, bang, like the double bang. My question is, how much do you or top play-by-play guys in general think about or obsess over needing that signature stamp?
So I bring a list just to exercise my brain. I have a list that I bring with me of different ways to say different calls, different ways to say a made basket, different ways to say a missed shot, different ways to say a dribble move or a pass or different things like that. And so I was just kind of throwing different things in. And then I just started hearing that people really liked Cash. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, okay. I'll listen to the people on this one. I like it too.
That's
and
great.
So I started kind of saving it. I didn't want to, you know, waste it in first quarters unless the team is on a crazy run. When Karl Anthony Towns had that, you know, his 62-point game. Hell, I threw a boom shakalaka in there. I went on with the NBA Jam for that one. But I definitely save Cash for big moments. I like using boom too. And that's the kind of a tip of my cap to Slick Leonard, who was the color commentator for the Pacers back in the day, who would say boom, baby. And so so I can't steal boom, baby, but I like saying boom after calls also. So between those two, if there's a big moment, those are the ones that I like to throw in there that even as I do national games, I'll kind of reserve those. It's hard. You can't beat bang. Or a Kevin Harlan good, or Kevin Harlan's got so many.
Well, that was symbolic last night too. I mean, Kevin some of the games, because he was the first recognizable voice and face of Timberwolves TV, and it was kind of crazy because Gus Johnson, there was an era where it was like Gus Johnson, Kevin Harlan, Sean Grandy came in for a minute before he went to Boston. Some major names came through. Amazing. But for Kevin Harlan, I mean, they literally would just be in the mid-90s. It'd be like J.R. Ryder and these ragtag teams, and they'd have to entertain the audience for 2.5 hours during these dark years. And he would just say things like, Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Ham. You know, just make stuff up. Googly, oogly, oogly, baby, for Tom Gugliotta. For him to come from like trying to find ways to make mid-90s Wolves games fun to now calling these games right now against the defending champions, there's something really cool, full circle, and symbolic about that, too.
No question about it. And the nicest guy, I finally had an opportunity to chat with him ahead of game one. Amazingly, I hadn't had a chance before. But he was super complimentary, and I just gave him his flowers because he's been an inspiration for me. I think sometimes we lose sight that it's a game. And Kevin, when you listen to Kevin Harlan, he's having fun.
Yeah,
I hope when folks listen to Jim and I on the broadcast, they feel like we're having fun. And I hope that adds to the entertainment value. And there's nobody better at that than Kevin Harlan. Iron Eagle sounds like he's having a ball. And so those guys set the standard, no question about it.
Well, no pun intended here, but my two cents is that Cash is as good. And Phil knows this because I said it on a pod, but it was sometime in February when this thing started humming again. And at that time, let's all call a spade, like I was like, man, a first-round playoff series win would be pretty cool, right? Like expectations. But I'm pretty sure I said on a pod, Phil, that if the Wolves won the title, I'd get a Cash tattoo.
A lot of things have been said on this podcast.
Yeah, so that was reminded.
We never thought we'd have to confront
my
again.
My wife brought that up the other day. She's like, so the Wolves are good? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, so that tattoo? I was like, oh, yeah. I know we want to respect Grady's time, but you said something earlier, like, you have in the two short years here embraced the community. I hope that we as a fan base have embraced you. I mean, you've done a polar plunge now, so like you're one of us. But you use, this is big for me as a longtime nerd, you use soda, and a lot of people haven't used soda since, I don't know, this 6'11" guy that some people might know used soda. That means a lot to me. It's not really a question here. That just means a lot to me. And also, too, this might be a question. If you could do anything, you are a very powerful man, to maybe get that original guy that said soda back in the building, that would be great for us. Thank you.
I would do everything that I can. And that's who I picked it up from. It's funny. I think I said many in a tweet, like in my first week here or something like that. And somebody was like, oh, we don't say many. Oh, okay. Dude.
Screw it. Say whatever you want. That's not how we do things here.
but I like soda. I heard I was with Mark Spears and with him during a conversation with Kevin Garnett, and he just the way he said soda, I was like, oh, that's I like that. That pops. And so I just like wanted to incorporate that as much as I could. But I like saying that. I like it. I think it's I appreciate that you appreciate that. And Kevin Garnett, if we can do everything within our power, I would love to see him this weekend.
Dude, Kevin,
that makes three of us.
Kevin, around if you don't have plans around 8:30 Central Time on Friday night, I know you've had a weird thing with Glenn for like 20 years, but you know, we can you can sit on the other side. You don't have to sit by him. Just come on in. Dude, if he would jump up right before the opening tip and do a little powder in the air, bang his head against the stanchion a couple times. Oh my God.
He's just up there like Sting and wrestling. And the camera just pans and he just kind of comes down. Soda is to me and a lot of my friends, it's like a code word at a secret club because it really does tie you to the last time 2 decades ago that this was cool. So you don't need my permission to use it, but I appreciate you using it. And it sucks that we don't get to listen to you on the call. I was telling Jim the other night, a lot of my friends now have muted the games, not because the people that call the games are bad, but Jim and Alan doing these games is also kind of like a nerd moment for us that listen to Alan and Jim.
Dude, Alan separately. Got here right after like the glory days. I mean, Alan started like the year after KG and Spreen Cassell. That guy, love that guy, by the way, but he's been through some ish with this basketball team.
Terrific.
So well, your same thing, right? Moving forward, game three Friday, you're going to be doing interviews and TV stuff and just entertaining us the best way you can.
I'm definitely not going to have a voice. I don't know what kind of voice I'll have, but I'll be in the crowd. I'll be there cheering and excited and just, again, as thrilled as everybody else that they have an amazing opportunity. We'll see who'll be suiting up for the Nuggets that game, but no matter who suits up, they should be taking care of business.
Yeah. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf not walking through that door. Dikembe Mutombo not walking through that door. Sorry. Great. Rafe LaFrance not walking through that door. Michael Grady, great stuff, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you guys.
Grady's going to be hanging out with us weekly throughout the end of this postseason run, which hopefully lasts at least another month. So,
yes, indeed. We'll see
Chelsea. You. Michael Grady, man, thank you. Here on Flagrant Howls. Hey, before we go, Kyle,
he makes
just
so
any
happy.
Other final thoughts?
Like, I know that I'll get killed for this by people that don't like me, but it's just kind of like, man, that's Michael Grady. Like, he's awesome.
He's just incredible,
like,
man.
It does kind of, I'm just in my feelings today off these 90 minutes of sleep, but it does, I really do think this, man, like, score is all about this and about the fans, and I've always been about the fans. It does kind of make you think that, like, hard work pays off, or you got to kind of go through stuff to really get, like, not to get emotional, like, Timberwolves fans deserve this so much. They have the best of everything right now. They might have the best player, coach, color commentary guy, like, everything, and it's why we're trying to do so many live shows. That's why Flagrant Howls is doing daily pods. This is the best moment for me, no hyperbole, as a Minnesota sports fan. I'm a big Vikings guy, but this, to see where everything has come from and all those guys you just listed and all those rosters of the past where, you know, they start Anthony Edwards at shooting guard now. It used to be Luke Ridnour. And no offense to Luke, but, like, this is a
Didn't know Luke
team.
Ridnour was going to take a drive-by at the end of this episode Luke. Here, but Kyle's
but
got you covered.
This is a cool moment, and last night was awesome. I thought you and Judd just hit the nail on the head doing the post-game stuff. So, I don't know. I am kind of running out of words, which is probably going to get me canned as a podcaster, but I am so happy.
Well, you better find some more, because they're not even halfway through the playoffs yet.
Oh,
that's the
God.
Thing. It's like, I'm trying to just, like, from a fan perspective and just like, hey, we're in this for the long haul, man. Like, Flagrant Howls and Score North, there's a lot of games left here. That's what's crazy. Are they, like, peaking now? And they're gonna, but you said something 30 minutes ago at the beginning of this episode. They're not just winning games because they're on a shooting heater. They're not even on a shooting heater. Like, it would be one thing if my God, Jaden McDaniels knocked down 7 threes and Ant went 8 for 12 from 3 and they just barraged you with 20 made three-pointers. They're barraging you with something that's very repeatable, which is high-end defense, athletic ability, communication, rotation. Can we, real quick, actually, since we're giving out all these flowers here, Karl-Anthony Towns, man. That guy has been... And Kyle's been so hard on him. I've never wavered personally. Not once. But he has been a revelation in these playoffs. And the way that he answered a question last night, too. I think Dane might have thrown the question out about, you know, just the 2-0 lead and the way everyone's playing and going back to Target Center. And Karl's answer was, I'm summarizing it here, you can go back and find the clip somewhere on either the Wolves website or Wolves Twitter. And he said, listen, like, we're very excited about what's happened so far, but we have an appreciation and a respect, humbly, for the other team on the other side here. It's like the most controlled, emotionless, in a good way, emotionless demeanor that I've seen from him in any of these playoffs, going back to when he was young in 2018. You know, this is the first time he has strung together three straight 20-point playoff performances. He's just knocking down huge shots. He's staying in the moment, largely staying on the court. A couple little foul trouble things here and there, but this is the most, like, complete version of Cat on the court and mentally that we have ever seen, and he deserves his flowers through the first six postseason games. Major credit.
He was the best center on the floor last night.
He was.
And there was his counterpart was Nikola Jokic. So I'm happy for him, too. I can't count my chickens until they hatch or Glenn Taylor kills them. But I just can't get there yet and celebrate this. But in the back of my mind, there's a thought. because I think back to when the Wolves had this former big three, I guess, of Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins. And Andrew Wiggins got a ring before either of those other two guys. And if Karl Anthony Towns gets to the finals or gets a ring before Jimmy Butler,
oh man,
Hennepin County Jail, open up a room, because I'm going to get fully arrested for something, because that, I am so happy for a guy. And you, we've all, everyone that covers this team has had criticisms of him because he's been here the longest, and I think he gets some of that too, but it is nothing but praise now for a guy who, sentimentally as a fan, like, has embraced the history of this franchise, is rocking Sprewell retro jerseys, right? Like, he is so active on eBay and all these websites finding old Wolves merch. Like, he epitomizes kind of what it's like to be a Timberwolves fan and has embraced everything. So I'm just so happy for him. And
new Wolves merch, by the way, flashing on your screen right now. It's scorenorth.com/shop. scorenorth.com/shop for your new Wolves-related Flagrant Howls merch.
It's really comfortable, too, by the way. I know some people care about that, but really cool merch. Good job to the whole team at Score. But I'm glad you said that. I mean, that's a good way to close it, because Ant is getting his flowers. He is elevating to heights that none of us really thought, or at least we didn't know what happened this early.
Yeah.
But they are winning these games because Karl Anthony Towns is playing the best, most professional basketball of his life and getting asked to guard Kevin Durant one-on-one last week and now Nikola Jokic this week. And he's doing it in flying colors, and just really proud of that guy, really proud of this team. Well-coached, well-run, well-owned, and well-broadcasted with our guy Jim and Grady and Allen. So it's a good time to be a Timberwolves fan, man. I'm telling you again, I know on my side with Dane, we're doing a couple shows this weekend, but just get out. I know it's supposed to be warmer. We're in May. The NBA lottery's next week. Bleep it. Don't care.
You bum teams. It's nice to not give a rip about the NBA lottery.
Go enjoy ping pong balls, because we got basketball balls to worry about. And get out, wear your favorite stuff. It's no longer embarrassing to be a Timberwolves fan. Text a friend, get out, have a beer, have a coffee. This is the best moment in two decades of futility.
Well said, my friend. Well said. I think that's a good way to put a bow on this thing here. Michael Grady, we'll get Jim Pete before the week is over here on Flagrant Howls. And yeah, thank you guys too for making this earlier this week. It was a top 15 NBA podcast on the Apple charts, which is mind-blowing.
Hey, that's crazy.
It's pretty cool.
Like, listen, we both give our flowers to Dane as well. Like, Dane is doing this daily. It's a full-time thing for him. This podcast was just like a spinoff. Like, it was just a dessert that we're like, hey, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have some dessert as this thing maybe takes off. And for it to be top 15, that was cool for me. And it was cool for you and Judd and an artist who I think is an up-and-comer too. So, I just, the support we get is never, I can never thank people enough. It's been really cool. So,
yeah. And looking forward to, so you're going to be in town over the weekend. All planning on being at Target Center for games 3 and games 4. And we'll see what happens this weekend, man. This is a blast. One game at a time, one series at a time. But this is the most fun I think most people have had as Timberwolves fans since 2004. So sit back and enjoy it.
Since they drafted JJ McCarthy.
Dude, all he does is win. Winning culture. High school, college, and even the pros for other sports that he has nothing to do with.
Look at the Wolves record when Kirk Cousins was a quarterback.
It's pretty crappy.
So I throw that one in.
Sorry. See, look, all you do is drive by Kirk Cousins and Luke Ridnour on the show. Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you to producer Ross, Michael Grady. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on Flagrant Howls, a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.